Good morning, Kingwood. Glad to see you today. And this is my first time to see you in 2026. So happy New Year. Hope your year has gotten off to a good start. And as always, you need to know that I am honored and delighted to be here and with you today. I've seen a lot of offerings and contributions and church services over the years. I've never seen a cuter one than this morning. The little princess up here in the Valentine's dress, you can't turn that down. So the next time you've got a big fundraising campaign going on here, bring back the princess, bring back the Valentine's dress, and I mean, that's fantastic. I love your children's offering. Never seen it before in a church, and if I'd seen it, if I had witnessed it before, we would have, started that at the First Colony Church of Christ, because that's absolutely wonderful. Okay, well, my message title today is A Faithful Friend, and the big idea is as follows: good friendships, they empower, and they are indeed worth the effort. And I believe that, and I hope you do too. And I hope that you will embrace the power of receiving friendship and also being a good friend to others. Reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Good friendships, they add value to our lives. And no matter how strong you are, you will be stronger through friendship. Because, actually, we are made in God's image, and God Himself is the picture of communion, community, and friendship. From all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have existed in relationship, bound together in friendship, love. Now, it's true, it's completely true, that you can get by without friends. You can get by on a desert island, if need be, and survive for years with only a volleyball named Wilson to keep you company. That's true. You can survive, but not thrive without friendships. Now today, I want us to take a look at the wonderful story about the marvelous relationship between David and Jonathan, faithful friends to one another. Our text out of the book of 1 Samuel 18 begins right after David has defeated Goliath. Now, David has already been a part-time employee of King Saul, part-time musician, part-time armor bearer, and now, add to that, David is a battlefield legend post Goliath. Here we are, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul. Now let that sink in. After David had finished talking with Saul, and Jonathan, I believe, is privy to that conversation. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. You see, Jonathan was the oldest of Saul's three sons, and Jonathan was heir to the throne. David has been speaking to King Saul. Jonathan hears all this, and David has been giving an extended explanation of his heart, his faith in the living God. And Jonathan knew that David's vision for his life was Jonathan's vision as well. David had a heart for God. Jonathan had a heart for God. And they shared a unity, purpose, and a common vision for life. Jonathan and David were, listen, they were similar and dissimilar. David was the last born son of a farmer. Jonathan was the firstborn son of a king, meaning Jonathan wasn't just a prince, he was the crown prince, and he was the one that everyone expected would become the next king of Israel. But Jonathan knew that the true king of Israel was whom? God. God's the true king of Israel. And he also knew that God's hand was upon David. And Jonathan didn't mind. He celebrated it. Jonathan would be willing for David to bear that mantle and said of himself. They were both sold out in service to Almighty God. Verse 2, from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. Now, pardon the pun here, but King Saul was a royal pain. And six times, count them, six times he tried to kill David. But in the midst of all that craziness, all of that turmoil, all of that dysfunction, all of that drama, David was given the gift of a faithful friend. And as Eugene Peterson says it so well, Jonathan's friendship entered David's soul in a way that Saul's hatred never could. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. They became covenant friends. In other words, they're not just networking here. This isn't fickle. You can count on me. David, you can count on me. Jonathan, you can count on me. This is a friendship that's not easily broken. I have your back and you have mine. David and Jonathan raised the bar of friendship from convenience to covenant. They will know and be known. They will serve and be served. In verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and he gives it to David along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. This is not a casual moment here. This is not trite. Jonathan, again, knows that God is the true king of Israel and that David is his anointed. Jonathan accepts that reality. He embraces it. He celebrates it. And when Jonathan is taking his clothing, his armor, giving it to David, this is Jonathan declaring, David, I have seen what God is doing in your life, and I choose to honor you, my friend. You will be the next king of Israel. You should be dressed. You should be dressed as the crown prince. God's hand is on you, and these rightfully belong to you. You know, Leonard Bernstein was a great orchestra conductor and composer, and he was once asked, what is the most difficult instrument to play in an orchestra? And he said, second chair. You can find plenty of people willing to play first chair trumpet, first chair clarinet. But someone who's willing to play second chair, that's something else. But Jonathan understood his role. He knew David's destiny and was perfectly willing to set aside his own ambition to honor the Lord's choice. And if Jonathan had a vision, if he had a magic wand of how everything would work out, David would be king and Jonathan would serve as his VP. But my friends, that vision would not come to pass. Jonathan will perish in battle. David will grieve his friend. And years later, David will bring Jonathan's surviving son, whose name is Mephibosheth. Everyone say that quickly, five times. David will bring Mephibosheth into his own home, treat him as his own son, and he will eat at David's table. And every time David looked at that son, he remembered his friend Jonathan, and he remembers their covenant of friendship. Good friendships will empower your world, and they are worth the effort. So I'm giving you a little theology today, but maybe a little Ronnieology as well as we apply this. You know, you're going to have several different types of friends in your life. Here's one type. You're going to have some shallow friendships. And this is not an insult. Please, this is not an insult. Every good friendship begins at the shallow end of the pool. My best male friend in the world is a guy named Owen. We've been friends for 50 years. We first met playing on a basketball court. My best female friend is my wife, Martha. We've been married for 45 and a half years. And it started with a simple little blind date. And then months later, we happened to run into one another at an amusement park. Started shallow, progressed from there. And I hope that you will not be so shy and withdrawn for your own good. Every year, I speak to our high school seniors at the First Colony Church of Christ, and even though I'm retired, still do it. I do a preparing for marriage class. And one of the things I talk to them about that is just building friendships. And I remind them how important it is to always pay attention to your hellos, goodbyes, and thank yous. That you do not have to be a gregarious, outgoing, life of the party kind of person. In fact, you can be rather introverted, but you will come across as warm, not cold. You will come across as warm if you will simply pay attention to your hellos. You can say hello. You can do that. Your goodbyes and your thank yous. Don't be the kind of person, you'll go into someone's home, they're hosting a group meeting, something like that, they're in charge of something, and you just get up and walk out and don't acknowledge it and say thank you. You don't have to regale everyone with humorous stories, but if you'll just say hello. When you leave, say, great seeing you, goodbye. If you walk into that business meeting and there's six others there, before that meeting starts, go around, shake everybody's hand, say a greeting. And when it's done, say thank you for your time and leave. It's the difference between coming across cold, aloof, withdrawn, and warm, and giving a friendship at least a fighting chance to develop and grow. Here's another type of friendship. Seasonal friendships. Seasonal friendships. My friends, we do not live in a village culture. And you know what I mean by that. A village culture is a small little village. You're born there, you live there, you marry there, you grow old there, you die there. How many of you were born in Kingwood? Raise your hand. Four of you. Or so. Okay. Life is seasons. And now life is seasons in terms of mobility. I was born and raised in Columbia, Tennessee. Then I went to college in Tennessee, but 2 hours away. Went to work for a university. Then decided to go into the ministry when I was 23. My wife and I, she was 21, we moved to Lakeland, Florida. Lived there 4 years. And then in 1985, moved to Sugar Land. So we've been here 41. But in all those places, you got to be all there. And it's a simple little maxim, but it's true. Wherever you are, be all there. Some of you may have moved to Kingwood. Maybe your company moved you in, and you're thinking, oh, well, I think I'm only going to be here 3-4 years, so I'm not really going to get invested and connected. You know, I'll come to church, but I'm not really going to get connected in any way. Because after 3 or 4 years, I think I'm going to move, or I'm at that age where I'm going to be here 3 or 4 years, and then I'm headed to the promised land. And promised land is a euphemism for Kerrville, Fredericksburg. Here's my challenge to you. Wherever you are, do not hydroplane over it. Wherever you are, be all there and all in. And if the Lord has you here for 3 years, do what you can to make that count. There are people here for you to serve and will serve you. And then, if your company moves you, or you do retire to Kerrville or wherever, you can tie a bow on it. And who knows, God is going to use some of those seasonal friendships. I mean, you grew up having them in high school, maybe college, but we don't live in a village culture. And so as the seasons in your life change, and they will, wherever you are, be all there. And those seasonal friendships are actually nice gifts. You know, I'm old enough, I'm 68. I think back to certain seasons in my life. We became empty nesters 20 plus years ago. So our daughter graduates high school in 01, our son in 03. They go off to college. And I wake up one day and look at my wife and say, honey, I need a motorcycle. And she says, you're nuts. This will pass. I said, no, I need a motorcycle. She said, okay, as long as you use a helmet, take a riding class, and up your life insurance, okay? And so I did. I loved it. And I've ridden thousands of miles. As far west, I've never really gotten out of Texas going west, but, you know, Texas, we're a big state. We're a country. And so out to Big Bend, east, I've ridden all the way to South Carolina, and so loved it. Had my favorite bikes were my Harley Dynaglide, and then my last bike was a Honda ST1300. A lot of fun, but then something life-shaping happened in our world. Our children got married and moved back to Sugar Land. And then they started having our grandchildren. And as those grandchildren started growing up, my wife says, you know, honey, actually on Saturday morning, we need to be taking Jackson and Ben and James out to McDonald's for breakfast. We need to be, but honey, every Saturday morning, you know, I get on my motorcycle with the other guys around, and we ride to Belleville, or we ride to Galveston, and well, I know, but, you know, we need to be doing this with the grandkids now. And then they start playing T-ball and pee-wee basketball. And Ruby has Saturday morning tea parties. And it really cramped my style. But it was a new kind of adrenaline rush, different season of life. And you'll have seasonal friends that will be a blessing to you. And sometimes it'll be bittersweet and you'll have to say goodbye. But actually, this side of heaven, every friend you have is a seasonal friend. But praise God, not in heaven. One more. There's a kind of friend that's a spiritual friend. And spiritual friends are just those precious people who help us pay closer attention to God. And I hope you have those. And let me tell you, they're here at this church. All ages. Spiritual friends, because of what they talk about and how they talk about it, they help us pay closer attention to God. All right, I want to close and just ask four quick questions. Okay, here we go. Number one, will you acknowledge Jesus as your best friend ever? I've been blessed in my life with great friends. Right before Christmas, on Monday, December 22, I flew to Tennessee, conducted the funeral for my best high school buddy, Bobby Bishop. Great guy. Stood there with hundreds of people at the visitation, spoke at his funeral on the 23rd, flew back here on Christmas Eve. I've been blessed with good friends. The best friend I have ever had and have to this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one, in case you've not heard this in a while, no one loves you like Jesus. No one will do more for you than Jesus. And Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down their life for their friends. And that's what Christ has done for us. Like a good friend, Jesus places our interests over his. He's in our corner. And like a good friend, Jesus wants what is best for us. And in case you've not thought about this in a bit, he's willing to forgive and cleanse your soul completely and to the uttermost. He's a covenant friend, and he promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. One more time, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You have a friend in high places. You have a friend in the highest place. Has your friendship with Christ grown cold? Run back to him. Has your friendship with Christ become lukewarm? Stoke those fires. Have you never, ever received the friendship of Christ? He loves you and invites you to come to him today. You could be baptized into his name this day. No one will ever love you and do more for you than Jesus. He's not distant. Sometimes we think, oh, there's Jesus over here and we're on the other side of the road. Listen, Jesus crosses that road to come to us. And it's not because he's forced to, because he wants to. And here's my second question. Will you help Kingwood create friendship opportunities? And just give that some thought to how, as a church family, we can create more connection points. Here's my third question. Am I missing something? So let's go back to the second question. There you go. Will you raise the bar on your friendship effort? Just raise that bar. And here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. There you go. Will you treasure and protect your friendships? And be willing to go that extra mile in protecting your friendships. Listen, I know there's some hardball issues in dealing with friends and relationships. Sometimes feelings get hurt, egos get bruised. Sometimes we're great friends as young couples, and then sometimes parenting styles differ. There's a price to pay for friendship. I get that. But I hope you'll be that person who's willing to carry the heavier load for a period of time and embrace the kind of friendship love spoken about in 1 Corinthians 13 that's not easily offended and angered. And be willing to embrace the wise, counterintuitive teaching of Jesus when he tells us to bless and pray and forgive as default responses in relationships. There's an old story. It's a fable of two friends who were walking through the desert. And during some point in the journey, they had an argument. And one friend slapped the other one in the face. And the one who got slapped was hurt. But without saying anything, he wrote in the sand, "Today my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis, and they decided to take a bath and get refreshed. And the one who had been slapped earlier, he gets stuck in the mud, and actually some quicksand. He started to drown, but his friend, the one who had slapped him earlier, comes over and saves his life. And after they had recovered from that near drowning, the one who had been slapped and then been rescued goes over to a stone, to a rock, and writes and carves into it, "Today, my best friend saved my life." Now, the friend who had done the slapping but also done the rescuing asked him, he said, "Now, after I hurt you earlier, you wrote in the sand, and now you carve into a stone." And the man replied, "When a friend hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where perhaps the winds of forgiveness and grace can erase it. But when a friend does something good for us and beautiful, let's carve it in a stone where no wind can ever erase the kindness of a friend." In other words, do your best to write your hurts in the sand and carve those benefits in the stone. Friendships empower, and they are worth the effort. And we're made for them because we're made in the image of God, the very nature of friendship. And everybody in this room can be a friend. Not everyone's called to marriage. Not everyone will be a parent. But everyone can know the blessing of friendship. And Jesus Christ is the best friend you will ever have. Before we sing, would you please be standing? I'd like to lead us in a prayer. And then after this prayer, we're going to sing a song. And during that time, if you'd like to make a response, or some of the elders will be down front. They'll be happy to receive you for prayer or baptism. Let's pray. Father God, how we thank you that you love us and came for us to redeem us and claim us as your own. And we thank you for the relationships that we have as members of the body of Christ. Help us to take your kindness to us, your connection with us, and pass it along to one another. Bless this church with the aroma of friendship and the touch of the Holy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.